The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out at 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "But no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And in receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked for only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Do you not agree with me for the usual daily wages? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give these last ones the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
The last line of this Gospel, I believe I have heard my mother say more times than I could ever count with 10 children. The first will be last and the last will be first, right? This gospel that Jesus gives us today, usually when he gives a parable, it usually is quite explainable. And in some way, you feel like Jesus just hits it out of the park, right? Great parable, everyone understands. He reveals the mysteries. And yet when I read this parable, I'm kind of still left a little perplexed. Jesus' answer at the end as to why they're going to receive the same daily wage is simply, well, God is a generous person. Still doesn't seem fair, right? If you've worked all day and someone else works just a few minutes. So I guess we've got to go a little deeper into the gospel. You see, the first Christian commentators on the Bible, they understood this daily wage to mean eternal life. And that's how it sort of solves the problem in one way, because it says, if you've been blessed to be a cradle Catholic your whole life as a Christian and knowing Jesus, or if Jesus crosses your path some point down the road and you discover him late in life, through the waters of baptism, both receive eternal life. Now that sounds fair, but we also probably have to go a little deeper, because it clearly is not indifferent having lived your whole life before God and only having maybe lived the last few years of your life. There's got to be something different. And so those first commentators, St. Augustine, would then say, you know, there's a difference between one man and the next. And in heaven, we are filled with the fullness of God's love, the fullness of joy. We're all filled to the brim. We couldn't possibly be happier. Some people, however, enter into eternal life with a heart the size of an ocean. Just think of Mother Teresa. And some people, unfortunately, get to heaven with a heart the size of a teacup. Both are full to the top, to overflowing. Both couldn't possibly be happier. But there's a big difference. In November, this last November, seems like decades ago now, right? Since everything happened in the world, it was November, and I was in El Salvador. We have a lot of members from our parish originally from El Salvador. They have great food, by the way. I was there with a team of doctors and nurses and medical students and just anyone who could translate English to Spanish. We had a huge undertaking for 2 weeks, and that we would be in San Salvador, the capital, and then we would go out every day to an open field in the countryside. And our advanced team had gone and gathered everyone who was sick or needed to see a doctor, and we would see literally over 500 patients a day. And we would see them in the correct way. There was the triage with the nurses and the blood temperature and all that, and then the doctors, and we had surgeons, and we even had mental health counseling and pharmacy. It was a lot of work, beautiful work. I was kind of at the very end of the line out the door. If they wanted to speak to the priest, they could talk to the priest. So I was being a doctor of souls in that moment. And as I was sitting in the back and looking at the entrance to this open field we had, there was a young woman pushing a wheelchair with a young man in his 20s. And I noticed him right away because his skin was so yellow. He was clearly suffering something awful because of his addictions, and something told me he was gonna end up with me and we were gonna need to have a talk. Well, as his young wife pushed him through the nurses and then to the doctors, he received the bad news that he had only days to live, not weeks, not months, days. And it was shortly after that message that he was brought to me. His young wife left for a moment with their little daughter. He was in his mid-20s, and he broke down. And he, of course, told me his life story. And that man had done a lot of things and had been away from God for a long time, but in that moment, he came back. He received forgiveness. He got in at the last minute. He got his daily wage of eternal life. There wasn't much I could do. It just kind of weighs on you as I pushed him back over to his wife and daughter and tried to console them how I could. But I knew that that man was right with God, and in a certain sense, it was all gonna be okay. And so I tell you that story because that man, not judging or in any way, but he had lived his life at least until that moment with his heart the size of a teacup. And I hope that God's grace just kind of broke through that teacup and inflamed his heart with an ocean of love. You see, the story gets a little deeper, not that story, but it's not so black and white as we would like. Just because you might be a cradle Catholic Christian doesn't mean you automatically have a heart the size of an ocean. And just because you enter into your relationship with Christ at the end of your life or wherever you're at doesn't mean you're condemned to a teacup eternity. If you think of some of the greatest saints, Mary Magdalene, what did she do? Who knows what she had done? She had 7 demons cast out of her during her life, and her past was always there, but she met Christ and became one of the greatest saints. The first saint to receive the good news of the resurrection. She was the one waiting outside the tomb because her heart was an ocean of love for Jesus. She wanted to be wherever he was, became a great saint. So it is possible. And then we have that kind of cliche, you could say, movie figure, the villain. Think of Hunchback of Notre Dame, kind of that guy who's like kind of a church guy and he's somewhat perfect on the outside, but he's just evil on the inside with a teacup heart, even though in a sense he's got everything right on the outside. And so my challenge question today for all of us here, myself, the first of all, is how is my heart? Do I have a teacup or an ocean? That's an answer only you can really find yourself. But there is a way to make your heart larger. Every act of love, every time you forgive someone, every time you look to heaven with a glance of love, every time you receive the Eucharist, like little William will today, your heart gets bigger. It's like a balloon being filled up with the air of God's grace, you could say. It just gets bigger and bigger. Living a life full of love is a way to have an ocean of love at the end of your life. And praise God, and we pray to God that every one of us here makes that commitment today, right? That whatever size your heart is, somewhere between a teacup and an ocean, wherever it's at, that today it will be a little bigger. And so that all of us, when we receive the gift of our daily wage in eternal life, will be filled with the utter fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.